All right, young people, you're dismissed. If you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll be in this morning, and then Ephesians 6 in Sunday school. Ephesians chapter 3. It's a great book, the book of Ephesians. A lot of practical teaching. A lot of jewels, a lot of diamonds in the book of Ephesians. But we will begin reading in verse 14. Paul is speaking to the church. And they're general statements, but they are certainly focused on the individual. And as the Bible is inspired, they're focused on us this morning. Verse 14, we will start. Paul is talking about his call and all the work that he's going to do for the Lord. And he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Boy, what a wonderful thing to know. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Father, thank you for your word, and may it find root. May it find a real depth in our hearts today. We love you. We understand. We know. We're convinced you love us, and I pray that you would speak to each of us today for your glory. Minister, in Jesus' name, amen. This is very personal, what Paul is talking about to the church. Sometimes when people say, you know, it's personal, means it's none of your business, you know, and so we're not going in that direction. But we have personal preferences, we all do. Colors, food, what we would think would be relaxing. We have personal convictions. This is a little stronger. This is something that we live for and we're convinced of. Personal opinions, personal experiences. We talk and share about a personal experience with Jesus Christ, our salvation experience. It's not just a prayer. It's not just a law. It is something that we have experienced, and it's personal. Amen? And we enjoy that. In Romans 14, verse 4, the Bible says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth." That's pretty personal, you know. So we serve the Lord, and the Lord knows our hearts. 1 Corinthians 3:8, "And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor," because that is between him and his Lord, him and God. Sometimes it's easy to look at somebody and judge them, but we have no idea what God is doing in their heart and in their life. In Matthew chapter 16, the disciples were saying to the Lord, "Some people say you're this prophet, some people say you're this." And he says, "Whom do ye say that I am?" Boy, that's the important question. You know, there's a lot of teaching. I mean, you can turn TV on, you can read books, you can do all sorts of things. You can grab a Bible and a commentary on a Bible. But what is God saying to me? Amen? And what is our own relationship with the Lord? We as believers enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy the company of each other. Amen? We strengthen one another. We encourage one another. That's a blessing. But sometimes it's just us and the Lord. Sometimes people don't understand what's going through our heart and our life. I mentioned Ephesians 6. We'll be teaching on that. And that's talking about the whole armor of God. And it says, take the shield of faith and take the helmet of salvation and your loins girt about with truth, the sword of the Spirit. But it has to be your sword, your shield, your helmet. Amen. It's all individual. We read general statements, but they focus in on how God is speaking to us. It's a personal battle. Hebrews 12:1, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We have individual weaknesses. We are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I mean, that affects all of us because that's the flesh. But some people have more of a propensity towards this than this. Some people, they have no problem with certain sins, and some people seem to be taken captive by them. And so there's weaknesses in our life, and that's individual to us. But God says that we can lay that aside. We are individuals. The Apostle Paul made a statement in Philippians 3:14. It was his testimony, even after all men forsook him and fled. But it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Very personal. I press toward the mark. Though no one join me, still I will follow, the song says. 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And we get the idea that we're trying to outrun somebody else. No, it's a personal race. Amen? And we run that race and we want to fulfill that so that we can win the prize to give to the Lord. Hi, guys. Good to see you. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus said that. Well, what does that mean? Well, we ought to try and figure out what it means if Jesus said it. For each of us to take up our cross daily and follow him. We deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow him. And sometimes we look and we think, well, my cross is heavier than your cross. Or my burdens are worse than your burdens are. And we look at that, and comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. So we find out what God wants us to do, what his will is for our life. John chapter 3, verse 7. I know this is a lot of foundation, but again, it's good to have visitors. We're here till about 2:30. So amen. Enjoy yourself. We can go and get a cup of coffee. But anyway, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Jesus said that. You must be born again. Nobody can be born for you. You have to experience salvation on your own. In John 14, 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's a personal promise. So we have personal responsibilities, personal promises. God doesn't promise us a life free of problems. I wish he did. Amen? I wish he did. There's a place, I'm originally from Youngstown, Ohio, and every time we go back there's a place called Handel's Ice Cream, homemade ice cream. If I lived in Youngstown, I probably wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be alive. There's a place called Cornersburg Pizza, best pizza in the world. I mean, you can't even find it under the pepperoni, you know? I guess I shouldn't be talking about that right now. But what would I want to be doing? Sometimes, you know, I don't want any trouble. I don't ever want a problem here or a problem there, but that isn't life. That's not what God promises us. But he does promise us a lot that helps us out. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then we can enter into that joy. We have 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We have a blessed hope. We know what our future is going to be, and that encourages us. God doesn't promise us wealth. I wish he did, but he doesn't promise us wealth. Well, aren't there some scriptures that would indicate this, that, and the other thing? Well, I know some believers in the Ukraine. I know some pastors there and some good people. And they're living for the Lord, and obviously they've just lost all their earthly wealth. But we're talking about the riches of his grace, and God certainly gives that to us. God doesn't promise us health. You go through the scripture, and some of the godliest people that you ever read about suffered physical ailments. Apostle Paul was one. He had a problem with his eyes. But, I mean, all of these things, we're not promised wealth. We're not promised health. If you have them, it's a blessing. Use it for the glory of God. Amen? Use your strength, use your resources, and glorify God with that. But not everybody has that in this life. You can't claim a promise that isn't there without thinking that God is letting you down. I don't know if you've ever prayed to win Publishers Clearinghouse. I have, and God didn't answer that yet. Amen. But if he answers it for you, you'll split it with me, right? Amen. Come on, come on. Amen, amen. But, I mean, there's things we pray about, but God never promised those things. But the things that he promised, he will fulfill. Because it is impossible for God to lie. And all the promises of God are in him, yea and amen. So we can trust that. In Mark chapter 15, verse 34, at the ninth hour, Jesus is on the cross, and he cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was bearing our sins, the sin of the whole world, upon him. And I've always said this, and it wasn't original, I heard it somewhere, but he was forsaken that we might not be forsaken. He took our sin that we might not have to pay for our sin. Amen? He bore our burdens to Calvary, the song says. We have recorded in 2 Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God will never leave us nor forsake us. And to know this, see, this, it's personal. Amen? Somebody has a testimony and they talk how close they are to God or how God is helping them. But that is available for anybody who wants it. It's personal. It's a personal statement. We read through the Bible. I know as a pastor, sometimes I get all bogged up in this. I need to have a devotional life as well as a study life. If you've ever studied the Bible, sometimes you're just trying to find a biblical answer or you're trying to find help for somebody else. I'm trying to find sermons. But I've told people for years, I preach something that helps me, and if you get in on it, you get in on it. Amen? If not, I'm helping myself. But I mean, this is all personal. And whenever God speaks, it's to me. I don't know if you've ever been sitting in church. Something comes from the scripture and you go like this to your husband. He's talking to you. I think he's talking to everybody. Amen? Because it can go the other way too. Or maybe a person comes to mind and you think about them. But it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen? And so it's so personal. Everything about God is so personal. And I think that's such a blessing. In 2 Timothy 4:16, Apostle Paul lived a great life for the Lord, but suffered. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. What a thing to say. And it says, the reason for that, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So nobody was with me, all men forsook me, but the Lord was with me. That's something to know. That's really powerful in our lives. Pray that God not lay that to their charge. Where did he get that statement? If you go back a little bit in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 7, and then in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9. But the Apostle Paul, he was called Saul of Tarsus. He was persecuting the church. This is before he came to be a believer. And there was a man there by the name of Stephen, and he was preaching a sermon. He was giving the history of the nation of Israel. And everybody got upset when he made the application at the end, and they stoned him. While they're stoning him, it says in Acts 7:60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, this is what he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's what Paul said years later when some of the similar things happened to him. He saw that example in somebody, but he made it his own. Amen? And we can read about people, we can read the scriptures, and we can say, boy, that's a man of faith, that's a woman of faith, that's so powerful. And it's not that you're following them, they're just an example of believers. And so we say, yeah, I want that to be true in my life, and Paul made that happen. Because after Stephen said this, he was killed. Well, where did Stephen get that? Well, our Savior on the cross, Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And you keep tracing it back through this person, and it finally goes back to the Lord. And so we are to follow him. He's an example for us. Back to promises. Psalm 27, verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. When this happens, then this will happen in our family. I don't know if you've ever had difficulties in your family, difficulty, trouble in your family. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. We have 2 Corinthians 12:10. Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak, in my circumstances, in my trials, maybe I have no human help in sight, then am I strong because the strength of the Lord will be there. We have 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is a reality, the day of death. We're all going to die unless the Lord comes back for us. Amen? In the rapture. And that would be a wonderful thing, and that could happen at any time. But when this happens, there's God. There might not be anything in ourselves, no strength in us, no human help, but God is always there for us, our family, our life, even in our death. Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, comfort in the family. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. He comforts us in life. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words, speaking about when somebody passes away. That's personal. That's something that God does for us. Amen? And it's a wonderful thing to know the comfort of the Lord. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. It's personal. You ever come to church, smile on your face, your heart's breaking? Ever out in public and you just keep it to yourself? You don't want to burden somebody else? Sometimes it's okay to burden somebody else. To be real, amen? So we bear one another's burdens. But we only do that if we know one another's burdens. And it's a wonderful thing to be safe enough to trust people you love with your burdens, because they can help you carry them. They can know and pray for you. I think that's a blessing. There's another side to all of this. It's not just help in time of trouble. But there are things that God does for us. And again, this is personal. And it's kind of like a checklist. Amen? If we were studying a course, it would take us a whole year to get through this. Maybe longer than that. Maybe a lifetime. But I've just picked out a few things today. And we'll just look at them, because all of this is available to us. God wants to do things in our life. Religion is not just a box. Amen? It's not just a form. It's not just some knowledge that we have. It's a personal experience. It's a personal revelation of who God is and how God can help us and speak to us. If we take one promise of God and dwell on that and experience it, amen, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You just can't teach about it. You have to experience. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17, the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Boy, there's a lot we can enjoy. God gives us. Amen? Be able to see today. We live in a wonderful area. Amen? There's a big lake out there. Big lake. And we took the grand boys to the dunes one time. I love the dunes. I just can't climb them. And they saw the biggest one and they said, Papa, we want to go up that hill. Well, you know, I mean, sure, not a problem. I don't know how far I made it. It wasn't too far. I'm going to change the subject so you don't laugh anymore. But they wanted to keep right on going, man. Richly. All things to enjoy. How about this one? Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Now that's a familiar verse. I quote that a lot in my preaching, but it's very personal. He daily loadeth us with benefits. And if we're looking for him, amen, count your many blessings, name them one by one, or count your many blessings, name them ton by ton, however you want to sing it. But there are benefits, and he loads us daily with those benefits. Well, my car isn't running. Well, at least you live in a country, you can get the car fixed. Amen? There's always a way to look at something, but God gives us spiritual blessings too. How about Proverbs 17:22? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You ever tell somebody, take your medicine? That's good medicine for you, you know? I mean, if you had some serious disease or something that you had to have medicine for, and that disease was overtaking you, or that feeling was, or your health was going down, and all you had to do was take the medicine. That's all you got to do. Just take the medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So go back. How do I get a merry heart? And go back a little further. Well, he daily loads me with benefits. And in his presence is the fullness of joy and all of the things that God can do for us. Amen? So, did you take your medicine this morning? Did you take your vitamin pill? Did you have a good breakfast? Pancakes, Richard? No? No pancakes? It's been a while. Richard can eat a lot of pancakes. Almost as much as I can. Go out for breakfast. Have a good time. But, I mean, medicine, it's good for us. Amen? What is the medicine? A merry heart. God can give that to us. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow with it. The riches of his grace. The benefits and blessings of being a Christian. There's a lot of them. We're able to meet together today. We mentioned Ukraine over and over and over. Their churches are being destroyed. Their cities are being destroyed. They're not worshiping in some places. But if you watch sometimes on the news, I know once recently my wife and I saw it, there was a group of believers and they were meeting in a basement somewhere as a bomb shelter. And somebody was taking a picture of it or a video of it, and they were singing praises to God. Amen? And here we are. We have the freedom, the liberty. It's so wonderful, isn't it? It's a blessing. The benefits. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God's promises never fail. They never fail. God is merciful. God has a purpose for my life. God is love. God's presence brings joy and comfort. God will give wisdom to all that ask him. God will strengthen and help me, and on and on and on. I know whom I believe, and am persuaded that he's able to keep me, that he's able to help me, that he's able to minister to me, because that's what he promised to do. There's so many stories in the Bible, and I just want to go through three stories real quick. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I'm not sure what all of your experiences with God is, or when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what you experienced then. Some people get saved at work. Some people riding in a car. Some people at a church altar. I got saved in my living room. But there is a day, there is a time to be born again. It's not something we just go into, you know, over a long period of time. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You must be born again. I've got a birthday. You got a physical birthday. We have a spiritual birthday. But there's a time that we meet the Lord and we know him and we know that he's real. Christ had died. He had resurrected. This is Luke chapter 24. There's two disciples and they're walking on the road to Emmaus and Jesus joins them. And they're speaking about how sad they are and how disappointed they are that Jesus was crucified. They thought he was the Messiah. And he said unto them, Jesus said to them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? That's verse 17. And so they talk to him and they say, well, today is the third day and, you know, he's dead and this is what we thought he would be. And verse 25, then he said to them, Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He's giving them the word. Remember, he said another time, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me. It says he goes his way in verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And here's the verse. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Can you experience that? Where you read the scriptures and your heart burns and you're so convinced the Bible is alive, amen, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of Almighty God. That is God speaking to me. Isn't that amazing? And you can just open wherever you want, or you can go through it systematically. But wherever you are in the Bible, that is God speaking to you. Like Paul told the church at Thessalonians, he said, I thank God when I came and I preached to you, you received what I said, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that worketh effectually in you that believe it. And when we believe this, think of the joy that they had. And when they came back to the disciples, they said, he's alive, he's alive. And later on, he appeared to them. And then we go to another story about doubting Thomas. That's what we call him. We call him that because he doubted. But he came. He wasn't where the disciples were when Jesus first came. I think this is John chapter 20. And they said, Thomas, he was here. And Thomas said, unless I see him with my own eyes, and put my hand into his side and see that is Jesus Christ, I will not believe. Oh, boy, that's a terrible thing. Well, it's really not a terrible thing. He didn't believe what they said. He had to see it for himself. Once he saw it for himself, Jesus was patient with him. Amen? He said, Thomas, don't be doubting. Put in your hand. Look, touch me. I'm alive. I'm real. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. It changed him because it was personal. I've sat in services before I was saved. It wasn't personal. It was like, when can I get out of here? You know, I got so much to do. This is God. It's God speaking. I wish I could do a better job of preaching, but it's not about the preaching. Paul said, not with excellency of knowledge, excellency of speech, but in power of the Holy Spirit of God. And when God speaks, when you recognize, well, there's this guy up there, he's talking to us, but he's preaching the word of God, then the word of God kind of focuses. And why would he have him say that to me today? Why would I be in a service today to hear this message? It's all because God ordains it. Amen? He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. John chapter 9, you might want to turn over there. This is the story about the blind man. He was born blind. And the Pharisees said, who did sin, this man or his parents? Who sinned that he was born blind? And he was born blind. And so in Jesus comes in verse 5. He says, I am the light of the world. And in verse 10, after the blind man is healed, he says, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Verse 11, and he said, answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam, wash. I went and washed, and I received sight. That's a good testimony. That's a good testimony. That is exactly what happened. Well, you know, I don't know enough Bible. I don't know, you know, how am I going to answer all these difficult questions if somebody asks me this and, you know, when is the rapture and all that. Just give them your testimony. Just tell them the day you got saved. You know, I listened to this. Whatever it is, you came to know Jesus. Well, they had problems with his parents and all of this, so we come down to verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I don't know this, But I know this. It's a good thing to know. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. This is God's word. Can you imagine God's word? I've been to some places in the world where they didn't have any Bibles. I remember some of the students coming from Moldova. No Bibles. No books. No Christian books. And in institute, they would sit there, and I'm not exaggerating, they would sit there for 10 to 12 hours just listening to the teaching. And then they would go back, they would eat dinner, and then they'd recopy all their notes because I was going too fast. I have a tendency to do that. But they'd recopy all their notes because they didn't have the books. They didn't have the scriptures. And we gave them all Bibles. It was a treasure to them. When we first went into Romania, 1991, or maybe 90, in Christmas time, we took a boatload of Bibles. And that's hard to do when you're in a car, you know. But we took a bunch of Bibles. And you ought to have seen the people. It was just like the best thing you could ever give them. It was worth more than anything financial that you could give them. Why? Because they had such a hunger and a thirst for it. And again, I know sometimes we get used to something. Sometimes our minds are so much on other things. But they would have 4, 5, 6 preachers, one after another, and stand for the whole thing because they were so hungry for the Word of God. But I know that's not America. Amen? But if we just take this every morning, thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Amen? The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. This word will keep you from sin. Amen? By the words of thy mouth, I've departed from the way of the transgressor. I mean, so many verses, so many psalms, so much treasure that is so focused on us. Amen? Well, I got to get through. I got to read 3 chapters. It's not so important that you get through the Bible. The important thing is that the Bible gets through you. If you don't read through the Bible in a year, it's okay. Amen? But read through the Bible until God speaks to your heart. What do you believe? It's personal. It really is personal. Well, I believe what my mom believes, or I believe what my husband believes, or I believe what my pastor believes. We were knocking on doors years ago, and this person told us that they go to a church, and I said, "Whoa, who's your pastor?" "Oh, I don't know." So probably they didn't go to a church there. But I said, "Well, what does your church believe?" And they said, "Well, I believe what they believe." And so we said, "Well, what do they believe?" And they couldn't answer the question. Amen? But what do you believe? What do you believe about heaven? What do you believe about heaven? What have you read about it? What have you studied about it? What do you believe? What do you believe about God's plan for your life? Is there a will of God for my life? What about what's important in life? And you don't have to share that with anybody, but what is your answer to what is important in life as a believer? What is important in life? Those are good questions. Amen? And those are personal questions because God wants to use every one of us for his glory. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to lead us and guide us and help us and open doors and close doors. Amen? All so he can be glory. What about your source of strength? Where is your refuge? Where do you run and hide? Where do you go when you just are overwhelmed? David had an answer for that. But a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. If somebody gives advice, well, this is what you ought to do, and it's not what you believe, it doesn't work. Him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I am that I am, he is that he is. And when we go to him, that effectual working is in us according to the power that's in us. It's a blessing to have that. Acts chapter 8, Philip went to the eunuch and he was reading the scriptures. He said, do you understand? He said, how can I except some man guide me? He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And guess what happened? A revelation. Amen? And he got saved and he went on his way rejoicing. Something happened. Amen? And so he came to God. There's another man that was working in the fields, the world, with the Apostle Paul. His name was Demas. But Demas went away from God. Having loved this present world, he departed. And so he went the wrong direction. But we all have that choice, don't we? Because it's personal. Elisha picked up Elijah's mantle. He didn't have to pick it up. He picked it up because he wanted that power of God on his life. And we're not picking up mantles, but you can have the power of God on your life. You can be filled with the Spirit. As a matter of fact, it's a command in the Bible. Amen? All of this is available. Deuteronomy 11:26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey, a curse if you disobey. I know that's Old Testament, but there's a principle there. 1 Corinthians 18:21, Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. Don't halt between two opinions, because James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You'll go back and forth and back and forth. Joshua 24:15, he said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that personal? Isn't that so focused in on the individual? Make a choice. Hebrews 11:25, this is about Moses. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew what was coming. You believe the Lord's coming? You know Jesus as your Savior? You believe you can count for Him and accomplish something for Him down here? See, that's all personal. And then all of the trophies, all of the crowns, all of the blessings in eternity, we'll be able to give those back to the Lord. We'll cast our crowns at His feet. It's a blessing, amen? And it's all personal. We can come to this book and we can read it, and you don't need an interpreter. God will speak to you. He'll tell you. I mentioned that preacher over in, Richard? What preacher am I talking about? Whenever my mind goes blank, I just ask Richard and he gives me an answer. But anyway, there was a Switzerland. And he was a drug runner, and he got thrown in solitary confinement, and just a horrible man. And they gave him a Bible. Lost man gave him a Bible, and he started reading it, and he found the Lord. He got saved. He's a pastor now in Switzerland. It's amazing. Story after story after story. Could be here all day. Just open this book. Amen. And recognize that it's God's word and God is speaking to you. And then just heed what He says. Amen, amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we're so grateful for Your word. Thank You that we have a personal relationship with You. We understand how much You love us. Such a blessing. We understand too that the flesh fights the spirit. And we pray for grace, strength, and help. I pray today, Lord, for anybody here that doesn't know You as Savior, that they would accept You today, that they would acknowledge they're a sinner and ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Simple prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God bless us now, and may as we end our service, may we be so tuned in to what You're saying to us. You've had to say something to us today. Sometimes we leave a church service with three or four things, but you had to say something to us. I pray that we identify that, even in this invitation time. What are you trying to say to me, Lord? Help me. Heal me. Use me. Whatever it is, may we hear that voice today. In Jesus' name, amen.